always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to record at some point. Maybe I'll do it tomorrow. I'm going to record a short, almost like a lowdown, and basically like chart out what the offseason would look like and what the team would look like, what the roster would look like if the Lakers were to trade for Giannis. And then, depending on, like, obviously I wouldn't be able to do that live because that requires like bullet points and all that stuff. So I'm gonna record that at some point, and then I'll have you watch it, and then we'll pick up this conversation again based on what that roster could realistically look like in that hypothetical.
We don't have to dive deep into this, but did you see Eric Pincus's article about what he proposed for the Lakers to trade with the Pelicans? So basically, his trade now.
Oh, with the Pelicans, where it's like. They walk away with Murphy and
So you work out with Murphy, Herb Jones, and Yves Missy. Now, again, people look at the roster on paper and go, that can't compete with the Spurs, like in the Thunder, because Jackson Hayes and DeAndre Ayton are again back at centers, plus Yves Missy, who's, you know, I haven't watched the Pelicans closely enough, but I think he still has some talent, some raw talent as a big man. But again, in that kind of hypothetical, you re-sign Rui, you re-sign Marcus Smart, LeBron takes $20 million. Now, that's the huge variable here. We have no idea what LeBron James accepts this summer, but you re-sign Austin, and then you go into the season with that little bit better depth, more wings, kind of the New York build, right, where it's you get the two most coveted wings on the market. Now, I'd argue OG and Mikal are a little bit above that, but in any case, you go get two very coveted wings. You pray they stay healthy. And so that, to me, was an interesting one. But again, in both cases here, to make your point a little bit, is you're giving up everything in terms of asset-wise, right? That costs you three firsts plus a due, so it would be four firsts, including the number 25 you have this year, and so would Giannis. So it's an interesting look, but... again, I think one gives you a little bit more depth, and one is just, hey, let's go get all the talent. And I'm not sure that competes with OKC and San Antonio this year or even the year after.
The problem with the Pelicans scenario is like they just hired a win now coach, right? Like he's coming from a win now situation, and like that's the kind of trade that a team would make if they are saying, all right, it is what it is. We're moving on from this core. And Joe Dumars just traded an unprotected first for a dude like in a year.
Absolutely
should not have traded. Yes, he traded it for a rookie, but like he absolutely should not be trading.
Let's be clear, it was a terrible trade. Like let's be abundantly clear. And they gave Jamal Mosley 5 years. So this isn't some, hey, you have 2 years to make this good. They gave him a five-year deal. So I mean, yeah. Now and Pelicans don't really, to me, go in the same sentence because they've kept kicking this can down the road for them.
Yeah, I mean, like Wynn and Pelicans don't like.
How about winning Zion?
Is that like the Pelicans? Like what I will say about Pincus's idea is makes sense to try to pull one over on Joe Dumars because he's probably fairly easily the worst GM in the league. So you give it a shot and see what you can, see if you can walk away with that talent injection. And see how much it would cost. I just think that, like, they seem to believe in, like, they fire or they didn't bring back Borrego, right? Because they didn't think that he was getting as much out of that team as he should have been. So, like, I think they're probably keeping this group together. And then depending on how things look at the deadline, that's when they would probably, take a look at moving off of Murphy and moving off of Herb Jones and, you know, whoever. But yeah, I did see like parts of it. I didn't read the whole thing. Sorry, Eric. And I promise I will. But I don't know, man. I just don't think that Trey Murphy and Herb Jones get you close enough to OKC and to San Antonio. And like, I acknowledge that this is like doubling down on like 10 base, you know, doubling down
right
against a 10, basically, you know, in the hopes of maximizing the time that you have sitting there at the table. And this, it, this would be like some wild haymaker punch that probably puts you in a very compromised situation after you throw it. But I don't know. I like the idea of betting on Giannis at a time where like he is being doubted more than ever before. I think if you acquire Giannis, that convinces LeBron to take less than he would if you were like, hey, guy, hey, LeBron, we got Trey Murphy and Herb Jones. How exciting is that, buddy? Like, he's like, all right, give me my 20.
Well,
and then, and but like, if you get Giannis and you're like, hey, if you take the mid level, we can get another starter. Or if you take this, you could get, you know, I think that is the route that I think you would get more bang for your buck with your other contracts than you would if you traded for a bunch of role players.
This is why I love these type of conversations, because you know you could flip this a different way where you go to LeBron and go, hey, we got Giannis. And I don't know if you heard his full post game, like his final exit interview, but the way he said third option was not some glowing excitement of,
that's true.
You know, yeah, what I mean? And so you push him down.
Yeah, I did that.
Yeah. He's like, I was, you know, I can't believe I was a third option. And so like there's that to it. And, you know, Chris Buns makes a good point in the chat of like, Trey Murphy is probably worth three firsts on his own. And you mentioned getting one over Joe Dumars. I've asked this trade to other people and they've mentioned, hey, actually that's an overpay for the Lakers. So it's kind of interesting. You look at it from like these other sides here where the Pelicans can go, Herb Jones played what, 30? No, he played,
yeah, he played, he barely 50 played. He wasn't the player that like, he shouldn't cost three picks.
Well, I mean, he played 56 games this year, but the previous year 20, right? And so
yeah,
a little bit better season this year, but in any case, three first plus Adu, right? Who, whatever you think of him, at least has some maybe, you know, potential, and then plus the salaries of Jared Vanderbilt, you know, and things like that to go get those two guys. That's probably still heavy from the Lakers perspective, not from a vacuum of, yeah, that's a lot for those two players, but just from what the Lakers have available to trade, that's a lot to give all that for two wings. So I'm interested to see if they go that route, but just a lot of paths they can go this summer. And I think the Giannis one will be looked at. I also think this one will be looked at, and we'll see where they go.
Before they even get to any of that, they have to fill out their front office, right? Rob Pelinka spoke at his and JJ's joint press conference about how they want to hire two assistant GMs. We've now gotten a couple of looks into what that process has been like so far. Yaron Weitzman, who has been on the show, reported that the Lakers spoke to Wolves assistant GM. Was it Steve Senior? excuse me, everybody. But apparently they interviewed him, and let's see, where is it? Yeah, Steve Senior, who is an assistant GM over there with the Minnesota Timberwolves, and they, you know, they were interviewing him for the position reportedly of executive vice president of basketball operations. So that would have been a pretty sizable promotion, honestly. And Steve Senior decided to stay there in Minnesota with a GM who is not going in anywhere anytime soon, I don't believe. So that was kind of an interesting decision that was reportedly made. This comes on the heels of Zach Lowe saying on his show that the Lakers have had some issues in lining up interviews and that there has been some reticence on behalf of some of the people that they've interviewed to accept any kind of gig because they don't know if this is a Mark Walter hire or if it's a Rob Pelinka hire and how long Rob Pelinka is going to be there. Or, and then the other thing too is because of this ambiguity, this lack of clarity on the ownership front, as far as how long Jeannie Buss is going to be there, you know, protecting Rob Pelinka and making these final basketball decisions. Some say it's 5 years. Some say it's 3 years. 3 years is only 2 years from now. like there is some wondering or, you know, from some of the more qualified people, why would I sign up to work with Rob Pelinka when I could just wait and take his job? And so all of this is kind of going on before you can even get to the basketball decisions that are going to be made. What do you make of all of it?
Yeah, honestly, I have not read, you know, Yarn's article yet. And this, the stuff that I kind of wait later on to kind of really get into, I was, you know, there for Rob and JJ's kind of exit conversation, right? Or exit interview, final statements before the summer starts. And I think what was made clear, at least from the statements, was, you know, whoever they hire, and Rob Pelinka did mention hiring two assistant GMs, right? One for scouting and one's for analytics and things like that. But they were all still going to be under the umbrella of Rob Pelinka. So he's still going to be the one making the decisions. And I have no thoughts that that's changing this summer. I still think he's going to be the head guy, the guy who makes the final decisions. Now, Mark Walter will have influence, you know, on the Dodgers. I don't know how involved they are yet in terms of what
reportedly they have been involved in the interview process.
Right. Slightly. Right. They've been in few slight kind of decision makings of with agents and stuff, a conversation with agents, stuff like that. And, you know, I'm not really privy to how much information that they or how many decisions that they're going to be deciding. But I still think Rob Pelinka is going to be the guy. And again, they've put a lot of eggs into this summer's basket. They've talked about what they'll be armed with going into this. It's been very clear that they wanted the cap space that this summer brings. Now, how available that will be, you know, we'll see once all those things are decided in terms of the players that they're returning. But yeah, I don't know. I hope they go out and get the best of the best. Like, I'm not too familiar with, you know, the guy they try to poach from Minnesota, but I think that's the right call. Try to go get the best minds you can with an unlimited bank to support it. That's the whole point. That's the whole point of having ownership that can do that, and not what's happening in Portland, which is kind of an insane development of what's happening over there in terms of the cuts and all the things that they're doing. But yeah, we'll see this summer. And it's clear they're trying to beef up a bunch of departments. They let go of the Buss brothers, right? So that was a role that was to be filled. There are scouting people that have to be filled. It looks like they want to kind of beefing up that. They talked about the practice facility and all the new stuff they're going to be putting in there. So supposed to be a lot of stuff coming in. We'll see how much that impacts really the summer and the players they can get. But they have a heavy summer coming. Like, there's a lot of responsibility to this summer. This is the second summer with Luka. A lot of decisions to be made. Luka, I think, just reportedly while we were talking, came out and reiterated that he's not playing this summer overseas in Slovenia. So but yeah, those are kind of
Jackson Hayes is like, are you sure? Positive?
Yeah. I'd be surprised if Jackson goes without Luka. I don't think he's going to do that. But that'd be a strange development. That would be extremely random.
He fails his citizenship. That's on purpose. He takes it.
Like, sorry, guys.
All right, so I want to go back to a point that you made and highlight it because I think it's the only thing that matters here. The Lakers for years, Rob Pelinka specifically, for years have said in front of cameras and behind the scenes, this summer has been the focus. They wanted all of the optionality this summer. Right. And at the end of the day, what happens this summer, I think, is going to dictate the future of this organization. If this is a good summer and the Lakers are well positioned to really go for it next year, Rob Pelinka sticks around. Mark Walter gets to keep them there. You know, Jeannie Buss gets to continue to support Rob Pelinka and JJ Redick. And that's how this organization moves forward. If this summer doesn't live up to expectations, and expectations are at 11 right now, if this summer does not live up to expectations, Mark Walter is on the record saying that he wishes that he would have replaced Ned Colletti a little earlier so that they wouldn't have lost, you know, they wouldn't have squandered some of those, you know, prime Kershaw years.
Who's Ned Colletti?
So when Mark Walter bought the Dodgers,
okay,
Ned Colletti was the Dodgers' Rob Pelinka. He was their lead baseball decision maker. Yeah. And their manager, their coach at that time was Don Mattingly. And, you know, Mark Walter comes in. You know, Ned Colletti, I think, was there for 3 years. And then after 3 years, Mark Walter says, hey, we're kind of topping out, right? We keep bumping up against this glass ceiling, and we want to make a change. And so that change winds up being Andrew Friedman. Change also winds up being Dave Roberts, and the rest is history, right? And in an interview that Mark Walter gave, I believe, last year after the Dodgers won a World Series, or maybe the year before after the Dodgers won, after one of the Dodgers' recent World Series, and they have a few of them now.
That's a good problem to have. You're like, when did they win? Last year? Year before?
Right,
one of those. One of those back-to-back titles. Don't know.
Well, like Mark Walter basically said, I wish we would have gotten to this faster, right? Like would have pulling the trigger on Ned Colletti brought us to this spot right now where we're like, dang, was it last year's World Series or the one before? Faster, you know? And I thought it was a really interesting thing to say. And he said it at a time that like we didn't know that he was eventually going to take over the Lakers, but he did. Like the rumors and the whispers about Mark Walter pushing for taking over the Lakers, that goes back a while. So at a time that he's having those conversations with Jeannie, and at a time where he is having the amount of success that he is having with the Dodgers, he's saying, yeah, I wish we would have gotten to here sooner. And I think that is an important backdrop to this summer, where if this summer doesn't live up to the expectations that Rob Pelinka has set, and ironically, this is funny because time is a flat circle. Remember, Jim Buss got fired because he said he expected the Lakers to make a deep postseason run, and if they didn't, I'm out, right? And Jeannie Buss used that reasoning to get him out of there. And Rob Pelinka has been talking about optionality for years in preparations for this summer.
Well, he was smart enough to not put a real
yeah. He didn't say like if we don't win a championship, no.
right.
But it all comes down, I think, to the same end game, right? It all comes down to the same point here, where this summer is really the summer that is going to dictate Rob's future with this franchise. And if you're a highly qualified candidate, and if you think you are better at this than Rob Pelinka is, why would you help Rob Pelinka stick around if you could just wait another year and get his job?
So,
right.
So I only follow baseball in October, and it is the best job of mine because they win every time to me. And so I've had a really good life as a Dodger fan. I would say it's been really fun. They just win. Like everyone else is stressed. I'm like, why are you stressed? They win every single time that I've watched. So again, I don't follow it close enough to know the inner workings, the context of the team before, context of the league. I am interested to see like everyone, the conversation around the series to tie it back a little bit that we of OKC San Antonio is everyone going, oh shoot, does this change the calculations of They said 28 other teams. I put 29 because I think even OKC, if they lose this series the way I think it's predicted wise, they're going to have to evaluate some things, right? These contracts that were like, oh, we'll just pay everybody and the second apron, we'll figure it out. Oh no, there's a train coming for you that just ran you over. So I'd be interested to see how that affects them. But I think the same thing with the Lakers. And I said this when Mark Walter was hired, he doesn't seem like a hands-off governor. Doesn't seem like a guy that's just allowing the chefs to cook while he stands at the dinner table. Like, I think he is in these rooms, and whatever plan that Rob Pelinka is going forward, I believe Mark Walter is right there being, if he's not the conductor of the plan, he's definitely in the room when the plan is sold.
Yeah,
totally. And so he's, you know,
I'm not saying that he's like rooting for Pelinka fail, or that he's not supplying Pelinka with everything that he could supply him. That's what you have to do, right? You basically say, what do you need? You need this, you need that, you need this, you need that. What all do you need? How can we make it so that we can fully evaluate you? Like the Dolphins did this with Tua Tagovailoa, I think is how you pronounce his name, where basically they said with him, we're going to give you Tyreek Hill, we're going to give you Jaylen Waddle, we're going to give you an okay-ish defense, we're going to give you Devon Achane, we're going to give you Raheem Mostert, we're going to give you like all of these tools. We're basically like, here is a stacked team, buddy, and it is on you to prove to us that you are our quarterback of the future. And I think that's basically what the Lakers are doing with Rob Pelinka. It's like, you want a new sports science department? All right, we're going to move our G League team to Coachella so that we can make room for that. You want an analytics department? All right, we'll do that too. You want two assistant GMs? Cool. We'll help you with that. We're going to do all of these things. We're going to fill out this entire deal for you so that if you fall short, you have no excuse for falling short other than your own inability to live up to the expectations that you set by way of all of this optionality talk over the last few years. Last few years, by the way, that Mark Walter has been watching. That door swings to both ways. He's been watching there while the Lakers have employed Anthony Davis and LeBron James and have been a fairly mediocre team. He's probably sitting there wondering, like, why? You know who else is probably sitting there wondering why? Magic Johnson, who was there and who worked with Rob Pelinka and is in Mark Walter's ear. A guy who, like, has a lot of success attending Dodgers games. I was wondering where you're gonna go with that. Right. Yeah. But like I'm not saying that anybody is pulling for Rob Pelinka to fail or anybody is rooting for Rob Pelinka to fail. I think they are trying to equip him with everything that they can, but I do think, having watched the way that Mark Walter moved with Ned Coletti before, a guy who, like, it was funny. Like, they fired him. They're like, do you want to do TV? Like, we can get the spot over here for you. Like, and he went and he does Spectrum Sports in LA. Okay. It didn't end on bad terms. You know, I think Mattingly, like, you know, they fired him and he went to like Miami, and I think he's now currently the manager for Philadelphia. This is how Mark Walter has moved in the past. And I think that, like, some of the noise that you're hearing as far as, like, you know, guys or people who are somewhat reluctant to take a job with the Lakers or how these interviews are going and stuff like that, I think it has a lot to do with the fact that everybody's sitting here waiting and wondering, wait, so how long is Genie making these decisions? How long does Rob actually have? Was that a golden parachute contract that Genie just gave him last year? You know, we saw the bonuses that Genie gave to the Rambi and all that stuff. That's not normally something that you do if everybody's going to be there longer term. Like, how long is this iteration of the Lakers front office actually going to stick around? And if there is any disbelief in it sticking around, then the highest qualified people are going to be like, I'd rather have his job.
Yeah. What's funny is you did a football reference. Tua, I don't know. I'm not going to butcher his last name, but
I think it is.
I've had my mentions have just been football players for the last day because I tweeted out that there's no Wemby in the NFL, and I've gotten 400 different NFL players, which I would like to say proves my point. There is not a Wemby in the NFL if you have 500 guys. My favorite one is Megatron. Don't know who that is, but that is a very cool name. So I
Calvin Johnson.
Yeah. But it's funny because you said, you know, Mark Walters telling Rob kind of, hey, what do you need? And Rob in his post-game presser, Rob in his final conversations with the media said, you know, basically what they're doing is, hey, Luca, what do you need? Right? Like, he's going to be involved in all this stuff. And that's the part that's interesting as well.
That's job security.
Well, I'm saying, like,
well, you know, Luca said –